Turn around and look at the person beside you and say, wake up. And get your Bibles out this morning. And go to Psalms 133, if you would. Now, we do have dinner on the grounds today, so I know some of y'all may have some fathering plans, and I understand that, but I want to invite you to come and stay and eat with us and fellowship with us and enjoy yourselves and be blessed. Also, want to encourage you about Vacation Bible School. You know, last year I thought we had the best Vacation Bible School we had had in years. And I just saw so many kids blessed, so many parents blessed. And listen, y'all need to, if you're questioning whether you want to help or not, man, jump in the middle of it. Get with the Dixie. Jump in there. We can use everybody. The more, the merrier, the better it can go with everybody. And so, man, don't hesitate. Be a part of that. There's all kinds of jobs. Don't think that you have to teach a class or you have to do it. Man, you can just be passing out the refreshments so then you can eat cookies a long while. You're serving the kids. I mean, that's a good job right there. So anyway, whatever you want to do, but just be a part of that. Get with the Dixie, and we really want to see a good blessing for all the kids here in town this year and around. Amen. Well, I'm going to preach the second half of the message that I started last week. I don't know how many halves there are in this message, but I have the second half, and there may be a third half or a third quarter. We had to change around here. But anyway, I'm going to preach the second part of this message that I started last week about chaos in the kingdom. You know, Jesus said in Luke 22 that he's given and bestowed upon us a kingdom. Each and every one of you, whether you realize it or not, you have a kingdom. And the kingdom that you have and the kingdom that you're to be ruling and reigning over in life is your life and what's going on in your life. And you may not like your life right now. You may think there's chaos in your kingdom. There may be chaos in your life. You may not like the way things turned out. You may not like the way things are going. But listen to me. With the power of God, with a relationship and faith in Jesus in your life, you can see your kingdom change from a kingdom of chaos to a kingdom of peace if you'll just apply the Word of God to your life. I promise each and every one of you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter how crazy it is, if you'll listen to the principles of the Word of God, if you'll gain wisdom and understanding and put it in your heart, if you'll get Jesus, a relationship with Jesus, and get Him down into your life of everything you do, I promise you that the chaos in your kingdom will start to decrease until the day you come and you'll stop and say, this is hard to believe. My life started out with a kingdom of chaos. I started out completely broke. Started out my wife and I not really knowing if we loved each other. Started out with nothing but problems all over us. And I can stand here and tell you today that I've been married for 30 years, that I love my life, I love my wife, I love my family, I love my kids. I'm in a happier place, a better place right now today than I've ever could have imagined that I would have been. And I'm not anywhere where I thought I'd be. My kingdom doesn't look like I thought my kingdom was going to be when I was 17 or 18 or 20 years old, but I am glad I got the kingdom of God. I'm not growing the kind of fruit trees I thought I'd grow. There's some different vegetables growing in my garden than I thought I was going to have. I never thought I'd be a preacher. Never thought I'd pastor. I was talking to a pastor yesterday, and we were talking about life, and he told me he ran from God for 30 years and didn't want to pastor. And I said, well, I was stupider than that. I just jumped right in the middle of it. Didn't want to and just got caught in the middle of it. Been doing it for 20 years. So we both went the same direction, but we just didn't know what was going on. And I'm just telling you, my kingdom doesn't look like I thought it was going to look. Can I have an amen on that? Is it maybe your kingdom doesn't look today like you thought it was going to look? Maybe life gave you some turns and some twists that you weren't expecting. But Jesus wants you to live in peace. Jesus wants you to live in grace. Jesus wants you to live in a relationship with Him. Not that everything's going to be perfect. No, because there's always going to be problems. There's always going to be something that's going to attack your kingdom. Because we live in a fallen world. And in this fallen world we live in, there's a devil who hates you, and there's going to be attacks come upon your kingdom. There's going to be some yahoo out there with a catapult trying to throw a fiery ball of something over your wall. That is just the way it is. The knock on your castle door may not always be your friend. Huh? Have you seen that commercial? I think it's an Orkin commercial where they hear a knock on the door and they open it up and it's this big old cockroach standing there. And whenever I see that, I just think about that's kind of like life, you know? Sometimes you go to the door and you open it up, there's just a cockroach standing there. You didn't invite him. You don't want him in there. But there is a cockroach wanting to come into your house. And when we, you know, and it's such a great commercial because, the cockroach talks, you know, hey, I just want to see if I come over. And, you know, we always think of Hollywood's got it all wrong. You know, they always make the devil and all this thing out to be, you know, these fire-breathing, pitchfork-wielding, demons from hell. But he's a whole lot more subtle than that. He's like the cockroach that's talking nice and won't just come into your house. And what happens is we let our, you know, when I say kingdom, I think castles, and we let our drawbridge down over our moat in life sometimes to some things that we shouldn't have done. And chaos comes into our kingdom. But listen to me, you can get it cleaned up and you can get out. You're just going to have to just be smart. You're going to have to listen to what the word says. And so last week, the first thing I talked about was repentance. The Bible talks about repentance is what gets the cockroach out of your kingdom. It's not repentance that, gosh, I'm sorry this happened. Right? Because all of us, whenever you see the problem arising, we're sorry we did that. But it's not that kind of sorry. The Bible talks about godly sorrow, it says, leads to repentance. It's the kind of sorrow repentance means. It's two words, and the word means that you have an awareness of it, but then that awareness of it causes you to turn and go a different direction. So repentance, true godly repentance, means you don't keep doing the thing over and over again, each time saying, I'm sorry. It's that you see the errors of your ways, you turn from the errors of your ways, and you change by the power of God. Amen? That's what true repentance is. So the first thing you're going to do to get the mess that you let the drawbridge down in your life to that you shouldn't have, and now you need to get it cleaned up, the first thing you're going to start with is repentance. The second thing I want to talk to you about today is found right here in Psalms 133. Verse 1, we'll start reading. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. The second thing I want to talk to you about is after you've walked through repentance, the next thing you need to start doing is you need to get some unity in your kingdom. Now, the Bible talks about unity, but when you look at the Greek word and what the Greek and Hebrew word of unity really means, it means to become one. And the place that you find that most oftenly spoken about is in the marriage covenant. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, he says that the two are going to become one flesh. Unity means coming into agreement. Absolutely, then, as there's one unit, not two. So if you want to stop the chaos in your kingdom, you've got to find a place of agreement with every person that's in your kingdom. Now, this message is, you may say, Pastor, ain't no way. But listen, let me tell you, let me explain this. When my wife and I found out right off the bat that children without discipline makes your life miserable. You can listen to all the child psychologists today. You can listen to everybody that says this. You can do whatever you think is right. But I'm telling you, children without discipline, the Bible says, makes the parents' heart sorrow. And you got to have discipline in your life. And the first thing that my wife and I had to come into agreement in doing, because what usually happens in marriage situations, and nobody get mad at me and walk out of the doors. I'm just preaching, okay? If you're convicted, just don't look down. Just keep looking at me, because then he's like, oh, pastor, he preached that message right to me. Somebody called him. You called him, didn't you? You told him. Nobody called me and told me things. It's just what the Lord laid on my heart. The first thing you got to do in parenting is that you have to come into an agreement. What is the discipline? Listen to me. Two parents trying to say, if the mother's saying, oh, sweetheart, come here, you're okay, and the father's saying, you need to beat that kid senseless, that isn't agreement. You have to find the common ground and come into agreement. That means one may have to give one way and one may have to give the other way, but you have to come into a common ground of agreement. Now, we just went last week for a few days down to the coast, and I was talking with my daughter. You talk to my daughter, she's in the phases of trying to raise children and going there. You talk to her, she thinks I beat her senseless all her life. And I said, man, I don't know what house you were raised in, but in her impression of life is daddy was ruled with a strong arm. I said, I didn't spank you over 3 times your whole life. Probably should have spanked you 50 times. No, man, you beat me at every corner of every turn of life. It's her impression of it. I didn't see it that way. My wife didn't see it that way. But we came into an agreement upon a few issues in life. There was a few things in life that we drew a line in the sand and we said, okay, if the kids cross that line, we're both in agreement, that's it. There's no wishy-washy. They can't go to you and get you to yield. And then, you know, and if that one didn't yield, run to the other parent and say, try to get them to yield because we changed. We said, we're going to be in agreement and this is it. Simple things like, the second time I tell you to stop doing it, you'll get a spanking. Not the third, not the fourth, not the fifth, not oh mama, nobody's going to say the other one. That was it. We drew a line in the sand and said, that's it. We drew a line in allowances, things about money issues. We drew a line and said, that's it. So this much and that's it, no matter what. You can't manipulate the situation. You run out of money, you ran out of money. That was later in teenage years. Park the car, you don't have money for gas, you walk. You're not going to yield. You can't twist my arm. You can't manipulate me. No matter what, we stand in agreement. If I begin to falter, I can turn to the other one and say, I'm beginning to falter, help! And they'll come bail me out because it's going to be, we've set the law, that's it. Because when you have a daughter, a 13, 14-year-old daughter, it's about the most manipulative thing on the face of the earth. My poor daughter, I used to tease her all the time. I said, man, the devil takes lessons from you. Manipulate me, pull on my heartstrings, give me those big eye, the big batty eye look. The, oh, Dad, but everybody else. Then, you know, oh. But without guidelines, without agreement, without the agreement of my wife set upon these, you know, foundation of what we had agreed upon, there was chaos. But once we came to that agreement, we set that foundation. We said, this is where we're going to go. This is what we're agreeing upon, correct? Then all of a sudden there became simplicity of life. There became focus in life. There became vision in life. We began to see a vision that this is how we want to mold our children to be. And so this is what we're going to stand on, and this is where we're going to go. We wrote it down. We had a covenant. We wrote it down between Laura and I, and then we wrote it down with the kids. And all I'd have to say is, what does it say on line 4? And you say, well, Pastor, that's extreme. Hey, my kids love Jesus and are serving the Lord with all their heart. I ain't perfect. I'm not perfect. But we came into an agreement as a family. Now things are changing because now there's Grandpa. Whoo, man, that's another whole bucket of worms there. I mean, I hadn't quite got that one even figured out yet, to tell you the truth. I'll get it figured out, though. I'll get it figured out. Because I'm going to live in, I want peace in my kingdom. I don't want chaos in my kingdom. Now, I thought my daughter could manipulate. Now, the grandkids, oh. I don't even have any reason. I mean, I'm just like, I'm just out there. I'd do anything. It's ridiculous. I mean, I say, no, that's it. I'm not going to do it. Papa is not going to do that. That's it. And then he says, well, but, you know, Papa. And he's also talking to me, and I'm like, okay, let's go. I have absolutely no willpower in this area yet. I'm going to get there. Because I know it brings chaos if there's no foundation there. There's got to be some principles set. So listen to me. If you and as husband and wife are you've got no boundaries, you've got no agreement, you've got no covenant there. Well, then it's just wide open. It's the Wild West in your life. It's whatever goes. It's whoever's got the biggest gun at that moment. Or the longest. I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot to bring mention of that the men's fellowships have gotten totally and completely out of hand. And for some reason, they keep cheating me. But we found the cheat. Having a pistol shoot out there. And Mr. Borland over here comes out with the longest barreled pistol I have ever seen in my entire life. This thing, he had to bring it out of the truck like this. I mean, it was a rifle with the buttstock cut off of it. Oh, well. Anyway, I'm getting off track. You got to have agreement. You got to find the common ground. As husband and wife, you have to find the common ground. Husbands, even though it's Father's Day, I'll ride on you a little bit. It's your job to make common ground. It's your job to find common ground. It's your job to see that there's chaos in the kingdom. And why is there chaos in the kingdom? And if you've got to sit down with your wife and write it out, then write it out. Make your agreements. Agreements that are truly made, and you stand on it and you pray about it and you bring it before Jesus and you make it. It's called a covenant. When you make a covenant like that, I want to tell you something. There's something that happens within each and every one of your hearts that binds you. For instance, if you say, look, I tell you what, sweetie, I will never say you made that again. I'll never say those words. If you never say you did what? You write it down, say, this is it, we're going to make a covenant today. I'll never come in there. So you may walk in there one day and you think, oh my gosh, I can't believe we had that again. My wife and I have a running joke all the time about food, because when we first got married, you know, I came from a household where my mother set a big table at each meal, huge. And we were eating all the time, you know, homemade biscuits, homemade tortillas, you know, food all the time, everything you ever wanted. But her family... Bill ran a service station, so he never came home till like 10 o'clock at night, and they'd sit down and eat at 10. Well, you know, our family, we ate a big meal at, you know, 5 or 6. That's what time you ate. And so we had this major confrontation in our first part of our marriage, because it's like 8 o'clock, and I'm looking at the watch and saying, you know, dear God, it's time to go to bed, and I ain't even got no supper yet. And, you know, you don't want to just start out, you know, and I'll never forget. This is the truth. I'll tell this and you'll just have to my wife will love me, but anyway, it's only the truth. So we come home. It's like, you know, like the day after the honeymoon or something. We're settled, trying to settle into the nest. And so I finally decided I'd make a suggestion. You know, it's like 6:30-ish, and I'm thinking maybe I need to make a suggestion for supper. And so she said, yeah, let's do that. I'll make some supper. And she says, here, I'll go whip something up. And I'm like, okay. And so she comes to me with two pieces of toasted bread and an egg right in the middle of it. And I said, what's this? So it's a fried egg sandwich. I said, really? This is not something that I expected. I was expecting fried backstrap and biscuits and gravy, man. Holy cow, I got a fried egg sandwich in front of me. I said, Lord God, help me, Jesus, you know. And I ate it with a smile. But I didn't want to, you know, I wanted to make simple suggestions and hints, but I didn't want to just stir the pot right off the bat. So anyway, later in life, we came into an agreement. She didn't have to cook the greatest meals in the world, as long as she could play the piano and worship God like she does. That was our agreement. So y'all get to benefit from my lack of supper. Something I'm definitely taking up to with the Lord when I get to heaven. But you've got to find it, folks. You have got to find it. There's going to be chaos in your kingdom without agreement. Without agreement, there's going to be chaos in your kingdom. You have to find agreement. You can't go around mad all the time. Things aren't going right in the kingdom, but never find the agreement. Because let me show you something here. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 18, I want to give you four things that this unity will bring to you. In Matthew chapter 18, it's maybe a familiar passage of scripture to you, but Matthew 18, 19. It says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. The first thing you say that agreement will do for you in life is it's going to get answers to your prayers. If you're praying, Lord, change that scoundrel I'm living with. If you want that prayer to be answered, you're going to have to get some agreement with that scoundrel. And you say, well, I don't even like him. I don't want to have no agreement with him. You better find some common ground. I don't care if it's that both of you just like the dog. Find some common ground. You got to find it. My wife and I have endeavored all of our life to find the things that we enjoy doing together, and we do that a lot. Because it's agreement. Whether it's sitting on the porch drinking a cup of coffee, we both like a strong cup of coffee. We've got a place of agreement. She doesn't say in the morning when I make coffee, man, I just hate it when you make coffee, it tastes like this. We're in agreement. She likes my coffee. You say, well, that's so simple. No, you got to understand, it's an agreement. When the two of you come in agreement, there's power there. Your prayers get answered. Find the places in life that you have that are in agreement. The second thing it says in verse 24, where two or more are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. Then when you find a place of agreement, Jesus comes in the middle of it. If you want Jesus in the midst of your life and in the midst of your kingdom, you've got to find agreement. Everything we did, the house we built, it was in agreement. The color it stained, the paint on the walls. Well, the paint on the walls was kind of a push on my end. She really wanted multiple colors, and I beat her out on something else I wanted it all one color, simply for ease of painting. And she'll get multiple colors one of these days, but I still have some leeway over there on some other stuff. So anyway, she got a piano and I got white walls. But we were in agreement. You see, folks, this is what I'm talking about. You've got to find common ground. You've got to find agreement. Agreement brings the power and presence of Jesus in your life. Agreement gets your prayers answered. Agreement, according to Deuteronomy 32:30, agreement increases the power of your lives, because it says one can put 1,000 to flight and two of you can put 10,000 to flight. It's talking about fighting armies. Well, I don't know about you, but if you're going to, even if one can put 1,000 to flight, but there's 10,000 coming against you, you ain't going to make it. So, I need to say this down here. So, if you're so hard-headed, you're going to stand on your principles and I'm not yielding, I'm just going to stay there because that's the way I want it to be. You're only going to ever put 1,000 to flight. So you think and you're standing to win your point only costs you to be weak, not strong. Find the place of agreement, because two of you put 10,000 to flight that come against you. You got to have agreement. You got to have agreement. Now, I want you to turn to this one, and then I'm about to close here. So go to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Just hold on just a minute more. I want to show you this scripture. Galatians. I want Galatians 6, 1. It says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." You have got to have agreement, because there's going to be some time in life you're going to fall and somebody's going to have to pick you up. That's why my agreement with my wife is so important to me. Because when I stumble or fall or I'm discouraged, I can look to her and she can be the one that lifts me up and picks me up. You've got to have that agreement. Agreement between you does a lot to bring the power of God in your life, but agreement also is for the person on this earth to reach over there and be able to pick you up by the back of the collar and help you up when you messed up. And all of us are going to mess up. All of us are going to mess up. Amen? So, agreement's going to get you answers. Agreement's going to bring Jesus on the scene. Agreement's going to multiply your power and your strength. And agreement is going to be there for somebody to help you up when you've fallen. Amen? Four things agreement does. So if you want to take chaos out of your kingdom, find unity. Find agreement. Amen? Amen. Well, close your Bibles. And if you would, stand to your feet. Can I have my prayer team come down, please? I don't know what's going on in life, church, and that's not my job. My job is to be the preacher. My job is to direct you. My job is to point you to Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. But I highly encourage you, don't let these words today just fall off your ears. Don't let these words today just say, "Oh, well, that was nice. Wasn't that a nice service, Pastor Ed?" And then just leave. I highly encourage you to take seriously what the word's been said today, and to be able to sit down with your children, to sit down with your wife, your family members, whoever it may be, and make agreements. Make agreements. Make agreements that you're serious enough about that you would call it a covenant. And then make it in such a way that you bring prayer into it so that it's sealed in heaven. Because the devil is going to try you on it instantly. He's going to try you on it instantly. And he's going to want you to give up on it. And he's going to want you to say, "Okay, that's it, no." And when you do it, you'll never get it back. We all know, I mean, I use this example all the time. Trying to diet, trying not to eat. Once you yield to the refrigerator door, he owns you. You're going to go back. You say, "Oh, yeah, just, yeah, go ahead and buy some ice cream and I'll eat it next week." Yeah, right. Make your agreements, make your covenants, and stand with it. Amen? So take the hand of the person beside you. And as we close in prayer, I'm going to go ahead and bless the food over in the fellowship hall. And I want to ask you again, just invite you again to come and to be with us. And if you can't, we understand. But, and then our prayer team is down here this morning. If you have prayer about anything else, something you want to pray over, they're here with you today. So, Father, we just declare right now in Jesus' name that, Lord, we thank you for this Father's Day, and we thank you, Lord, that you're our Father. And we just pray, Lord, today that your hand of blessing is upon us and that this message of unity seals in our hearts. That the chaos that can arise in kingdoms, Lord, will be put down. And it'll be put down because we start to act upon the principles of the Word of God. So, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, we just give you all the praise. We thank you for it, Lord. We ask you to bless all the food and all the hands that prepared it, Lord, and give us a day of just rejoicing and fellowship. Jesus, we honor you. You're our King. You're the King of our kingdoms. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you.